we're praying that you'll attend. And we're getting responses and phone calls from people that are coming as far away as Canada and New York to attend this conference this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'm grateful for the Lord advertising it globally with what's happening in Israel right now. This has been planned for about a year. And so with all that's taking place in Israel, you're going to want to come and not miss this coming week here at Calvary. There's no registration. There's no fee. Show up. And it's going to be a tremendous time. Having said that, we can pray. Father, we ask, Lord, that before us, that you would anoint this time. Somehow, Lord God, stop the clock, we pray. Stop the sun from moving, if it were, that we might have time. Make this message to be, Lord, to the point. And, Lord, I pray that you would span the impossible task that's before us as believers, Lord. This is challenging to anyone who's knowledgeable in Bible prophecy and very well versed in their Bibles. It's challenging enough, all the way down to somebody who may be coming into church for the first time ever. Lord, I'm going to leave that to you to bridge that gap. Father, we pray now for your amazing touch. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. This morning, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, and you can stay there if you'd like, but you'll be taking some notes today. We are breaking away from Luke's gospel in our study because the Lord has seemed to preempt our previously scheduled study to bring a prophecy update of what's going on in the world right now. Listen, in relation to the Bible, I want to stress that. It's in relation to the Bible. Someone may be tempted, especially if you're visiting for the first time and you're not familiar with the Bible or with what God has to say in His Word. You might say, what are we talking about this for? It's very, very important that you understand something. That God's Word, the Bible says, is prophetic. Listen, 25%, in fact, a little over 25% of the Bible is, in fact, dedicated to prophetic Scripture. I'm going to ask the guys if you could reset the clock. It's got the red light on and it's strange back there. I'm going to need that today for timing. But you need to know God's Word, everyone. And this is a difficult time, not only for what's going on in the world right now, but for us together because of the news that we have to give. I have an interesting problem this morning. And I'm going to set you up and to set myself up to answer this or somehow address this problem. Please, if you know the answer to the question, these questions, do raise your hand. There'll be no embarrassment. Trust me. I just need to know. How many of you are here for the first time ever? Raise your hand. First time ever. Just 10 of you. How many of us have gone to Israel together? Raise your hand. Okay, many more. How many of you have been with us as a church, say for the last 3 years? Raise your hand. Okay, very, very good. The reason why I just asked you that is because with where we're going this morning, for most of you, and I'm grateful for the response, for most of us, we have a relationship together. We've gone through studies together, for example. Maybe we've gone through the book of Revelation together or other scriptures together. There's a relationship. You know that God has allowed us as a church to be involved in many interesting and wonderful international-type things and international-type people. For that, we're grateful. And the reason why I'm saying this is to put it into the mind of those of us who don't know one another or those of you who are new to the church or visiting for the first time. I have no credibility with you. You don't know me in the relationship of where we're going in our study today on what's happening in the Middle East. And so because of that, I need to share some things with you that might bring it together. I do intend to give a push behind what we're saying today, because the temptation for you to discount what we're going to be talking about is important, and it will be threatening you to discount what is said today. The title of the message this morning is Middle East Crisis, and whose war is this? Middle East Crisis. Yes, it is a crisis right now. It is escalating as of this hour. And whose war is this is a good question. Don't think for a moment it's Israel's war with Hezbollah. If you think that, you've missed it. But before we go any further or too far this morning, look with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24. You've got your Bible open to it. And I want to set the stage for where we're going. Matthew 24, verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat opposite on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying three questions. They asked Jesus, by the way, watch this. Number one, tell us, when will these things be? Well, the answer to that was 70 A.D. 70 A.D., Titus Vespasian of the Roman 5th Legion came in and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. And by the way, at that moment, all the genealogical records as well. Number two, what will be the sign of your coming? The disciples believed that there would be signs as Jesus put forth to them that would indicate his return back to earth. Number three, third question asked, and the end of the age or the end of the world. Jesus, when is this stuff going to happen? How are we going to know that you're coming back? What will be the sign that shows us that you're coming back to earth? And when will the end of the world be? Jesus went on to say to them, verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name. He was announcing that between the time he leaves and the time he comes back, there's going to be many false religions and many false messiahs. And they'll say, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end's not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Nation against nation, ethnos versus ethnos, nation, nation, political powers against political powers. Jesus said in the last days there will be an escalation of ethnic warfare, colors warring against one another, and there will be nations, or the other word he uses, political kingdoms warring against others. And you say, well, that's always happened, and you're very true. But Jesus said just before he comes back, it will intensify. On a grand scale, by the way, I might add. That's what Jesus says, and that's what will happen. God's word has never been wrong. His word is pure, 100% true. 25%+ of the Bible is written about the future events that are going to come to pass in this world. Right now at this hour, there's a Middle East crisis. And you need to almost study it hard or watch my hands. Take a pick. 20 days ago, gangs, I call them gangs, they're terrorist groups, Hezbollah in the north, Hamas in the south of Israel, in a known orchestrated covert action, took captive, came into Israeli territory and took captive, kidnapping soldiers and have them to this moment. Israel said, release them now or pay the consequences. And at this hour, those that are down in Gaza and those that are in Lebanon, predominantly Hezbollah, are receiving the restrained brunt of the Israeli Army and Air Force. The tragedy, the sad thing is, the people that are caught in the middle are the innocent Israelis and the innocent Lebanese. The Lebanese are sweet and precious people. And their nation has been taken captive by a terrorist group called Hezbollah. And you better know it. If you don't know it, you better start studying about the birth of Hezbollah and who they are and what they do. You may be surprised to find out that Hezbollah resides currently in about 33 states in the United States, 33 states here in the U.S., and in nearly almost every country of the world. Having said that, we're going to queue up a phone message that we've received from a man that you know. But now he is being called back to his original position. Our good friend Amir, he is now donning the hat of being an Israeli captain in the Israeli IDF as his home has come under fire and they are residing in a bunker at this time. I'm talking to him daily. You'll hear a phone conversation here in a second that he wanted you to hear, but also as a tank leader. Now you're looking at a young man on the screen who was the last governor of Jericho. The governor before him, by the way, in Jericho, was a guy by the name of Joshua, you find in your Bible. The last governor Jericho had in the West Bank was Amir, as you looked him on the screen. Listen, he sends us a message this morning. You can cue it up now if you would.
Hello there, members of Calvary Chapel of Chino Hills. My name is Amir Tarfati, and I'm a good friend of Jack and Lisa, and of many of you there. And I'm also an Israeli officer in the Israeli army. And right now, as you all know, Israel is engaged in a real war, but not against any proper military force, but a guerrilla terrorist organization that is using civilians to hide behind them and to launch rockets and missiles towards Israel. This has been the 17th day since the beginning of the operation. Israel is being attacked daily with over 100 rockets, and the military operation that we're conducting right now is basically to not eliminate, but to completely devaluate the Hezbollah, which is one of the most strongest terrorist organizations in the world, backed by Iran and supported by Syria. Israel is under attack at this moment. Personally, we live in the north, right next to the Jezreel Valley, the Armageddon Valley, and our town has been attacked, has been fired at, and the third largest city of Israel, Haifa, is getting barrages of rockets almost daily. Israel is being engaged in this war, but this war is a war of Islam against us, and it's not only the Hezbollah, which is supported by Iran and is an offshoot of Iran in southern Lebanon, but it's basically the Arab world and the Muslim world against us. Right now, we decided to call back to the service some 45 to 50,000 soldiers, which is unprecedented ever since the last war in the Middle East. This is numbers of real war, nothing less than that. The Syrian army is in the highest alert since 1973. And I truly believe that we're coming to the point where Syria will be having to pay for what Syria has been doing for the last few years of harboring terrorists and supporting terrorists and basically letting terrorists attack both Israeli and, of course, American targets. I want you to pray and pray hard. You all probably read Psalm 83 and you know exactly that it's not the beginning and it's not the middle, but it's the end of the story that counts. And if you read Amos chapter 9 and if you read the end of Psalm 83 and if you read most of the Bible, you understand that God is clearly not going to bring all the Jews back to their land in order to destroy them, but rather to pour His Spirit upon them. And so I do believe that we as believers know the end, and God told us that we can know the end from the beginning as He declared so. However, this is the time for the saints to stand and then pray for Israel like never before. We're on the verge of almost a world war, but at the same time, I know the end. You know the end, and the end is awesome. So again, not as a tour guide and not as a civilian, but I believe as a believer, I think that our task is to stand in a gap and pray hard right now for Israel. I do believe that these are tremendous times, although it may cause some panic to some of you. I believe that fear is not from the Lord, and I believe that for us, this is the right time to rise and shine and know that our redemption is drawing very, very near. So I want to encourage you, although I'm here in the front line and we are those who are getting attacked, basically an attack of evil against everything we believe, and I do believe, and I do know, and I'm holding on to this promise, that Satan has already been defeated. So hang on to this, hold on to this, and pray hard as God instructed us to do in the scriptures. Stand strongly with us in this point, and pray for us. We love you all, and we hope to see you very soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.
It's good to hear his voice again, and it's good to hear right from the front as he is, as you've been watching the news, Kiryat Shemona, he's right there. But also this, again, if you've come in here just during that address from Amir, from Israel, I'm going to set up the first few moments of this to gain credibility to those of you who are new or we don't have a relationship together. So some of this stuff might seem kind of strange to you, but it's for this reason. It's because of the information that I'm going to be giving to you in this time together, because some of it you can get off the front end of the newspaper. Some of it you can get if you know where to look, and some of it you will not be able to get at all. And that's because of what the Lord has allowed us and to whom the Lord has allowed us to be connected with. Why don't you put up the next slide, and I literally am under oath to block this out. This is not a joke. I cannot show you the identity of this man. He's a very high-ranking official in the Israeli military. We're friends. We're good friends. We've spent time together. This is another photograph there with him at the base. By the way, the base is located in Megiddo, or what you know in your Bible, Armageddon, the Valley of Armageddon. And this is another friend on another base. Both these bases, hold that slide. Both these bases, by the way, 17 days ago, both these bases uploaded to all their aircraft nuclear devices for war. There's a lot that you don't know in the general public. This is Israel, as they have said this week coming up starting today, which today, Sunday, is their Monday. That's how they think. They are now this week, the next 7 to 10 days, though they're trying to downplay this in the current news this morning. It is stated among the Israeli officials, the next 7 to 10 days, Israel will fight for its existence. Israel will fight for its existence, is their understanding. This is how they go to the office. It is a highly advanced, different than the U.S. version. The F-16D is completely different than any of the F-16 in the world. First of all, those of you who know aircraft, there are no F-16s in the world that are twin canopy or dual cockpit. Israel reworks all the military equipment that they might receive from countries outside, including the U.S. They buy everything stripped, and they advance them to top secret levels. In fact, hold this photograph just because. 2 months ago, Israel they received an aircraft manufactured here in the United States, a top secret aircraft. It doesn't shoot anything. It's an electronic aircraft. There's no other aircraft like it in the entire world. It's the most advanced aircraft in the world. In fact, it rivals the technology of our U.S. satellites, because Israel is not allowed to have a military satellite. The U.N. won't allow them to have it. So what they wound up doing is developing an aircraft that we built that is a satellite that flies a little bit lower to the ground. It has no name. It has no identification, though the United States built it under the greatest level of secrecy. Israel received it 2 months ago, and I might add, just in time. Next picture. On the logo of that plane that you saw, this is the 109th Squadron, Valley Squadron, based in the north of Israel. That is the crescent moon. Make no mistake about it. This is about as politically incorrect as you can get. I thank God for Israel. They don't care about... No, go back. They don't care... Go back to the... Go back. No, not that. There. That is the crescent moon of Islam. You notice that in between the talons of the falcon, it's broken. They will tell you, they've told us, they told me, this is what we must do to survive. We must break the crescent moon of Islam, because they want us driven into the sea. That there is their logo. This is not a joke. I didn't make this up. That patch, by the way, is put in front of there because I wanted you to see that. You see that it's on the tail right there. By the way, for those of you who were with us on Mount Carmel a year or two ago, some friends were able to fly over our heads about four F-16 fighter jets during the Bible study. Remember that? And they came and tipped their wings so we could see the tail, that red dot, as they screamed across the sky just over Mount Carmel for us. We're grateful to Israel for that. The next slide then. No, we're going the wrong way. There you go. All I can tell you about this is that don't even try to find it on the internet. It's not there. You can't find this. This is taken out of the cockpit as the F-16 to the right made a right-hand bank. And this aircraft that you're seeing looking from made the bank following. And that is during a mid-flight refueling. And these are all private photos. And why am I doing this? So that to gain credibility for the information I'm going to give you later. We, thank God, know people in Israel in some pretty tremendous positions. I don't know if we have any... Yeah, we do. Don't we? No, we don't. Okay. So, what I want you to do also, keep this in mind as we get going here. This question is being asked around the world by the news sources and by maybe you this morning. And it's being talked about in levels of government in other countries. We know that. We've seen that in print. But the question is, as CNN put it Thursday morning, CNN viewed a graphic asking, is this the beginning of the end? CNN's asking, is this the beginning of the end? Have you noticed, church, listen, whenever there's a war in the Middle East, have you noticed that all the news services begin to ask those eternal questions? Isn't that interesting? They don't talk about it when there's a war in Bolivia or Peru or something like that. They always ask that question. Time magazine, the Middle East, why they fight and why it's different this time. Even the general public can read about something's going on that's different now. Newsweek magazine, Meltdown, and this is a photograph taken from the international airport in Beirut when the war, Israel responded to the captivity of these soldiers and Israel launched their attack. Fox News Channel on Friday asked religious leaders from Atlanta to Rome, is this, I quote, is this the beginning of Armageddon and is this the coming of the rapture? Will it be soon? Fox News. I was blown away that Fox News, his name was Mike Jarrett, that Fox News reporter would ask the question, is this the beginning of Armageddon and is the rapture soon? I thought that was pretty insightful of Fox News to even ask the question. Well, the answer is easily found in the Bible. Those of you who are eschatology students or students of the prophetic word, no way is this the battle of Armageddon even remotely forming. You got to understand that. What's taking place in the Middle East, you can relax, is not the battle of Armageddon. And yes way, the rapture could happen any moment now, says the Bible. Paul the Apostle believed, by the way, in 1 Thessalonians, in that teaching of that five-chapter book, he believed that the rapture could have happened at any time of his life. Paul said, we who are remaining shall be caught up. Paul put himself in that we statements, the famous five we statements of Paul. We shall be caught up. We shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he spoke about that. But yes, the rapture could happen, Fox News, any moment. But no, Fox News, no CNN, this is not the Battle of Armageddon. It apparently is also not what MSNBC asked about, and that is, could this be the famous Ezekiel battle referred to in the Bible? And that's Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38. The answer still, again, is no. It is not the Ezekiel battle. The nations that are involved are not yet in play. You have to have Russia in play and you have to have Turkey in play, all coming against Israel under a Russian alliance based upon Ezekiel 37 and 38. That's not happening yet. But what is happening? And that's the question we're asking this morning. And in your mind, Christian, listen up, visitor, all of you here, try to categorize this as we run through this information. Try to put it into two camps as you might take your notes. There is what we're looking at is the local war in Israel. I'll call it the local war, though it doesn't feel like that to the Lebanese people this morning, whose country has been hijacked by Hezbollah. And it doesn't feel local to the Israeli people who are receiving over 100 missile attacks daily since this thing started. Doesn't seem local to them. But look at it right now for argument's sake, local Israel, that region, and then look at it global or worldwide in the other column that we're looking at today. Because two of these things dovetail together perfectly, as I pray you will see. It is so difficult to give you the data that we have in a timely manner, but we'll do the best we can. I believe this war that you see happening right now, and it is a war, by the way, pay no attention, jot it down. CNN said that Israel was calling up 15,000 troops. That's not true. Fox News said they're calling up 30,000 troops. That's not true. Israel's calling up, as you heard also from Amir, and we know from other Israeli sources, 45,000 troops plus 5,000 officers, 50,000 in total. That's three Israeli brigades plus 5,000 officers. This is not going away. And a ceasefire would work directly against the eradication of the terrorists. In fact, whenever the terrorists ask for something, that's what you know not to give them. If they want a ceasefire, then why don't you stop ceasefiring first, seeing how you kidnap the soldiers first. Keep that in mind. Very important. Number one, jot it down. The time is now to know your Bible like never before. Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Now this may be shocking to you. When Jesus said in Matthew 24 that there'll be wars and rumors of wars, the word rumors of wars, men understand this quite well. It's when two men are ticked off at each other. That's a Hebrew word for being mad at one another. I'm joking. But when two men are ticked off at each other, upset with each other, they have a tendency to stick out their chest and send threats. It may be through body language. That's called a rumor of war. When nations begin to do it, Jesus said there's going to be rumors of wars. We hear that all the time. We're hearing rumors of wars right now with North Korea. We were just given a rumor of war last Thursday, a few days ago, from an unlikely source, a man by the name of Hugo Chavez. And we'll come to him pretty soon here in a moment, but no need to get more into him. Rumors of wars. A lot of that goes on in the world all the time. But what's interesting, Jesus said concerning nearing the end, it's going to be on a global scale. There will be more pressure for nations to go to war, and they're going to talk about it and threaten one another more than any other time. Number two, Jesus said there will be wars. You say, well, so what? There's always been wars. Correct. But in the context of Jesus' teaching of Matthew 24, the context implies global wars. We call them world wars. For example, in Matthew chapter 24 is where you see a veiled reference to the First World War. World War I. In this scripture as well, you find veiled in there a reference to the Second World War that we all know about. Some of you, Bob and a few others, fought in. Third, this is where Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars, this is where you get the understanding that there could be a third world war. Have we kind of sold ourselves out in logic and thinking? Have you not thought that there could be a third world war? Well, you need to start thinking that way. There could be a fourth world war. There could be 10 world wars. The Bible doesn't say there's only going to be two. There could be three. There could be 10. But know this, the Ezekiel battle and the Battle of Armageddon, those are wars that are specifically mentioned in Scripture. People have ignorantly, but with good intentions, automatically labeled Armageddon as the Third World War. That's incorrect. The Battle of Armageddon is the final war. Okay? And I don't know if you realize it or not, but you got that phone call from, and you saw photos from, the Valley of Armageddon. It's one of the most beautiful valleys in all of the world, I might add. Napoleon, when he came there, said, no wonder why the Battle of Armageddon will take place here. It is a general, it is a commander's dream to command a war from this location. Did you know that the Valley of Armageddon, Megiddo, has been the most, has hosted more wars than any other plot of land on the face of the earth to this hour? That's God warning us and warning us. Well, anyway, I want you to keep that in mind. I want to have you be thinking that what's taking place in the Middle East could very well be a precursor to World War III. You say, Jack, that's a tall statement. I understand that. But let me jar your memory for a moment. Know your Bible like never before. Number one, is Afghanistan embroiled in war right now? The answer is yes. Is Iraq embroiled in war right now? Yes. Is Lebanon at war right now? They got a tough... They're trying to defend themselves against Israel as Israel's trying to attack a gang membership group called Hezbollah that's occupying Lebanese territory. The poor Lebanese are in a tough place because they can't throw out Hezbollah. They don't have the power. And they can't resist Israel. They don't have the power. The Lebanese people are being ravaged at this moment. And there's a lot of Christians there that are dying. Is Israel in war to the north? And is Israel in war to the south with Hamas down south? Hezbollah to the north, Hamas to the south. Yes, they are. Is the Sudan at war? And has the leader of Sudan this week, and Somalia, by the way, Somalia has gone crazy in the last 24 hours as they began to machine gun down Christians in Somalia. Somalia is warring in tribal wars. Sudan, greatest amount of Christians last year in 2005 were killed in Sudan. What about North America? I'm sorry, North Africa. North America is coming. No, North Africa. And all the warring that's taken on there. And why did I list those nations? I didn't even mention Indonesia, Timor. I didn't mention what's happening in Manila and Jakarta. I didn't mention the things that are taking place and the uprisings that's taking place in the last 48 hours in Australia as they began to come against the Australian government. Who has come against? What's happening? What do all these nations have in connection? Number one thing, Islamic response by jihad since 1990. Jihad. Every one of the nations mentioned are fighting something that is based upon Islamic jihad. Make no mistake about it. And so are you, by the way. So are your sons and daughters at this hour. It's all about jihad. It's a spiritual issue if you understand what's happening in the world and what your Bible teaches. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. God wants us to know what the future says. That's why He writes one quarter of the Bible to prophetic knowledge. God says in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, that I am God, and I've declared the end from the beginning, and I declare those things from ancient times that have not yet happened as though they have. God knows the future. There's encouraging news for us to know from the Word of God, not to lose heart at a time like this. And this is an insert. Thank God. I wasn't planning on doing this, but you saw the news. We need to put it in. Put up the slide if you guys would. Psalm 83. Anybody know what happened this week? You know, Amir said, read Psalm 83. Did you hear him say that? Did you see what happened in Ireland? Slide, please. Ireland. Did you see what happened when they put a backhoe in the ground? They began digging for a construction site. What did they unearth? Approximately 20-page book has been dated to the years 800 to 1000. It is the book of it is a portion of the book of Psalms, chapter 83, in its entirety. You say, well, so what? Well, do you know what chapter 83 talks about? It literally says that there will come a time when Israel will be surrounded by its neighbors, and they will cry this cry, destroy Israel so that it will be removed from the nations of the world and it will never again be remembered. That was found Tuesday by contractors in Ireland. Now, what's beautiful about that? You say, what's the big deal? That's no big deal. That's a great coincidence. Well, you know what? I don't think that way when I read Psalm 85, verse 11. Psalm 85, verse 11 says this. I'll read it to you. Truth shall spring forth out of the earth. How's that? My goodness, what else do you need? Listen, that little backhoe driver there in Ireland digging a hole and finds this manuscript there, finds this portion of the Bible, and it's not Genesis 1:1 and it's not John 3:16. What is it? It's the entire chapter of Psalm 83 that says Israel will be fighting for its life, surrounded by its enemies who wish their utter destruction. What did the president of Iran declare 4 months ago? And what did the leader of Hezbollah say 2 days ago? Israel must be exterminated, and what remains of it must be driven into the Mediterranean Sea. It can no longer exist. Listen, You're going to not believe when I tell you this. Go do it and look for yourself. Try to find a map made by any Middle Eastern country, an Arab nation. Try to find a map that lists or shows the nation of Israel on the map. It doesn't exist. You cannot find Israel on an Arab-made map. You want to know why? They can't acknowledge Israel as a nation. It is against the Quran. It is against the Hadith. It is against Islamic religion. Israel must not exist, is the cry. Don't you think, though, it's not Islamic, it's satanic. That's what Hitler believed. Mussolini, Stalin, Antiochus Epiphanes, Nebuchadnezzar. On and on it goes. Rome came in and tried to deal with it the best they could and wound up renaming it, by the way, Palestine. That's the Roman name to try to eradicate Israel. Interesting. Well, number two, jot this down, Middle East crisis. Whose war is this? The question is, what's behind the Middle East wars? Number two, what's behind the Middle East wars? First of all, it's spiritual. And we have some photographs, and I'm wondering, imagine for a moment, if you think, where would this be? Hold this slide until I cue you to go to the next one. Where do you think this is at? Come on, don't be shy. United States, I'm hearing Europe, London. Well, okay, this is London. Slay those who insult Islam. Europe will pay. Demolition is on the way. Behead those who insult Islam. Butcher those who mork. It's supposed to be mock. Who mock Islam. Europe, you will pay. Your extermination is on its way. Next slide. This is London, my friends. Behead those who insult Islam. I gotta hang on right there. Keep that up there. Back up. Guys, do people attack Christianity? Do people make fun of Christians? Do people insult Jesus? There's art in New York City that has someone putting human feces on a cross, and yet it's on display in New York City at the Museum of Art. Did we blow up anybody for doing that? When's the last time you saw a Christian walk into a place and blow themselves up because they didn't like the way the world was treating Jesus or the cross? This is telling. This is the spirit of it all. Behead those who insult Islam. Why? What's the problem? Can it take it? What's the problem here? See, you and I don't panic over stuff like this because we know that Christianity will be attacked even to the point of death. But you know what? Thank God, the last time I checked, this world's not my home. Next slide. Europe is the cancer, Islam is the answer. Exterminate those who slander Islam. This is in London. Next photo. And boy, this is it. Hold that right here. That is what's happening in the world right now. And for those of you who are naive, you've missed it. Jihad was called in 1990. It's not stopping. This will not stop. If you are a faithful Muslim out of the Middle East. Now look, let me say this. There are Muslims who, by the way, when I go to Israel, I have dinner in a Muslim home. He listens to this broadcast. I love him. We call each other often. I love his family, burqa and all. I love them. They have fed Lisa and I like you can't believe. And I'm calling to see if they're safe and if they're okay. I love them. I'm not talking about all Muslims being terrorists. You understand that? I'm going to repeat that because you're not listening to me. All Muslims are not terrorists. It's sad, though, that all terrorists have been Muslims. That's sad. This man holds the proper sign. And this sign, your future and my future, we must deal with this. Islam will dominate the world. That is something that will continue until, according to the Bible, the Antichrist comes and sets up a friendship pact between this religious ideology and the Jewish people in Jerusalem. Does anybody know how long that peace treaty that he initiates is good for? Anybody? 7 years, says the Bible. See, all this stuff has to happen. all this stuff that's going on in the world and the stuff that's soon going to be happening here in America, it's got to go crazy. You want to know why? It prepares the moment for the coming of the Antichrist. He's going to come in and make it sweet. And the world will say, thank you, and love him for it. And he's going to fix the border problems, by the way, worldwide. You want to know how? By a tracking electronic device in the right hand or forehead. He's going to take a tip from some of the correction agencies in California where we put the band on people. I don't mean the band. I'm talking about the little hand or wrist detector. Next slide, if there's any. Freedom, go to H-E double hockey sticks. That's interesting, the freedom. Next time you vote in the voting box, think about that, will you? Freedom? They hate freedom. Want to know why? It gives you the ability to think for yourself. If you do that, you'll find out Jesus loves you. If you think for yourself, you read the Bible. We can't have Bibles in our country. People might find out that you can think for yourself and God loves you and you can be forgiven and God values you. Yeah, I can't think that. Can't have freedom. Next slide, if there's any. Europe, take some lessons from 9/11. I don't know where I come from, them fighting words. Anyway, Europe, you will pay. Your 9/11 is on its way. And there's a London Bobby right there to stand next to the guy. Be prepared for the real Holocaust. Wow. Massacre those. I guess I'm in trouble then. But I love the Muslim people. But this is a sad, sad thing. And this is not just happening in London. Next point, Mideast crisis. Whose war is this? You can see that it's not only just, it's not localized to the Middle East. You see that it's London's war. It's England's war. Which, by the way, in Islam, they have declared London to be their first Western nation. Did you know there are more mosques now in England than churches? Did you know there's a greater population of members of the mosque than there are of churches in England? Did that slip by you? Did you not know that? Did you not know that in Dearborn, Michigan, the largest mosque in the Western Hemisphere is there? Did you miss that? Interesting. Middle East crisis, whose war is this? Is this war found in Scripture? I said it's not the Battle of Armageddon, and we do not believe that it's the Ezekiel battle forming. Then where does it appear in Scripture? What's happening? What could happen? Mark it down. Isaiah, I want you to read it. I gave it for you Wednesday night as homework. Isaiah chapter 17, verses 1, 2, and 3. I hope you're sitting down. You need to hear this. Because what I'm about to read, it's never been fulfilled ever. Because it is totality. Once it happens, it's over. Isaiah 17. I believe this is the next stage that will preempt the Ezekiel battle and the Battle of Armageddon. Isaiah 17:1, the burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will become a ruinous heap. By the way, the wording in the Hebrew is, it will be gone forever. The cities of Ara are forsaken. The cities have become a place for flocks that lie down. In other words, no humans dwell there. There'll be nobody there to make them afraid. The fortresses will cease from Ephraim. The kingdom of Damascus will be no more. Damascus, the Bible says Damascus is going to cease. You see, what does that have to do with anything? Have you been watching the news? Iran and Syria, they are the financial and military engine behind the gang Hezbollah. Hezbollah needed a platform to launch its activities into Israel. Who was the most vulnerable, brand new democracy? What do democracies stand for? That guy had a sign. To hell with what? Freedom. The newest democracy, so fragile, outside of Iraq right now, is Lebanon. Syria was there, then they got thrown out. Was it last year they got thrown out? Just last year? Guess what? There are over 400 Iranian troops in Lebanon fighting Israel at this hour. Confirmed military fact. What is Iranian troops doing in Lebanon? Why is Hezbollah shooting Iranian-made and North Korean-made missiles? How did they get them in the first place? You ready for this? Answer? Syria. Syria is the neighbor. That's where they've been channeling them over from. More on that in a moment. When we get to it, it ought to cause the hair on your neck to stand up, if you have hair on your neck. Why do we believe that Isaiah 17 will take place before Ezekiel? For this one reason. In Ezekiel, in that battle, it gives a list of Muslim nations led by Russia coming against Israel. Guess what nation is not mentioned in that list of nations? Syria. Why? Damascus will be destroyed. How? I don't know. But it's going to happen. God's word says it's going to become a disastrous, ruinous heap. Did you hear Amir? It was kind of hard to hear him. But he said Syria is on its highest level of alert this week. There's a reason for it. We'll tell you in a moment. Number four, Middle East crisis. Whose war is it? What is Islam's intentions according to the Quran? I touched on it a moment ago. You can put up the scriptures. We'll just go through them quickly just to show you. But when you put the Quran together and the Hadith together, the writings of the Muslim leaders and clerics, it is the desolation, the absolute annihilation of non-believers, Christians and Jews. You either submit to Islam or you die. By the way, the mode of death is beheading. Which I find interesting because the Bible says, the book of Revelation chapter 13, what will be the mode of death for those who do not bow to the demands of the Antichrist? Answer, anybody? Beheading, says the Bible. You say, that's impossible. You and I thought beheadings would be impossible 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Now you can view them on the internet if you have the sick stomach for it. The Quran's intention, and a true Muslim obedient to the Quran, it states for the annihilation and destruction of Israel. That's what it says. Germany. In fact, our sister church, and just outside there of Herborn, Germany, where Pastor Edmund is at right now, they had to shut down the German Secret Service wound up shutting down a mosque in Germany because it was discovered to be a terrorist gathering point and a funnel for Al-Qaeda money. You say, oh my goodness. Hey, you'd be surprised those things they've found in America. You would be surprised 3 years ago, about 2 miles from this, 3 miles from this location you're sitting in, the FBI, in a sting operation, infiltrated a business here and monitored it and found out that they were channeling millions of dollars to Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. It was shut down. You didn't even read about it. But law enforcement personnel in this church were involved in it. And that guy, by the way, I think he got 45 years in prison, the guy that headed it up. Germany's in trouble. France is gone. France is history. France is Islamic. But that's why Yasser Arafat made it his home. That's why his wife lives there to this day. England, we've already mentioned. Spain. It's the South Pacific nations are having to succumb to Islamic threat. Number five, Middle East crisis. Whose war is this? Is it Israel's or is it the world's? Is it the Lebanese or is it the world? Is it Hezbollah's war? It is, or is it the world? Depends on where you live. What is Israel's intentions according to the Bible? It's a simple answer. It's to exist. By the way, the right to exist. The United Nations, by the way, is quickly becoming a pulpit to preach against the existence of Israel in these latter days. Ezekiel chapter 37, mark it down, verse 21 to 22. Thus saith the Lord God, surely I will take of the children of Israel from all nations of the world. Wherever they have gone, I will gather them back together on every side and bring them back into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. That's what God says. The Bible says that God will bring back Israel from all the nations of the world and create them to be one nation again. My friend, listen, skeptic, listen up. There is no nation on the history of mankind that has ever been a nation, then ceased to be a nation for 2,000 years, and then became a nation again, retaining all of its culture, all of its language, all of its worship. And not only that, but the Bible says, shall the earth bring forth a nation And one day, and shall a nation be born? And yes, May 14th, 1948, at midnight, a nation was born in one day. It's called Israel. And people hate it. But yet it's true. Number six, Rome's emergency summit this week. Can you believe this? Again, those of you who don't know your Bible, you're going to say, so what? Did you see that Rome, the Vatican, called an emergency international summit of peace for the Middle East this week? And diplomats were dispatched there? Since when did they ask Rome to get involved? Who cares? Well, if you know your Bible, this is kind of interesting stuff. Because the Bible talks about that peace treaty coming out of what was once the ancient Roman Empire. What's Rome coming back on the scene for? And quite frankly, who cares what the Vatican has to say? Until you hear what the Pope had to say. The Pope said, there must be peace. And then he went on to condemn Israel's defending of itself against Hezbollah and Hamas. Well, I guess that's okay to do when you live in an ivory palace gilded with gold and you have everybody waiting on you and you have no missiles or burritos or pizzas flying over your head. But isn't it weird that he would say anything at all? It's not his fight. Interesting, huh? Yet that's exactly what the Bible warns us about coming. Number seven, what about Iran's power play in these current events? Now I got to tell you, things are going to get dicey from this moment on. Those of you who know your Bibles well, you'll never find the name Iran in your Bible. It's not there. Just like you'll never find the name Iraq in your Bible. You want to know why? It's because the Bible is perfectly accurate. So what do you mean? The Bible references Iran by a different name. In fact, I used to work at Baxter Healthcare with engineers from Tehran, Iran. And when I said to Bita, my lab partner was Bita Gadimi. I said, oh, you're Iranian. And she said, I beg your pardon. By the way, she was Ivy League educated. She says, I beg your pardon. I am not Iranian. I am, and what do you think she said? I am, exactly, I am Persian. I never made that mistake again. Persian. If you're from Iran, you are very proud to say that you're Persian. And I probably would too. I'd probably say that exactly that. Persian. The Bible addresses Iran as Persia. And portions of Iraq up north as Persia. When the Bible speaks about Iraq, it doesn't call it Iraq. It calls it by its end time name, which is also its historical name. What is that name? Iraq is what? Babylon. That's important. So Iran or Persia's power play in these last days is most significant. Why? Because of this man right here. Well, actually, hang on right here. This guy is the leader of Hezbollah, Nasrallah. This guy yesterday called for an all-out war against central Israel and to launch against Tel Aviv. I got news for you. Firsthand, if anyone hits Tel Aviv, it will be the Third World War. Israel will let it go if that happens. And he knows it. Next slide. This is the guy that I want you to look at. This guy is very terrifying. This guy is amazing. This is the guy who 4 months ago said to the Islamic world wide, destroy Jewish Israeli interest around the world because now's the time to push them into the sea. They can no longer exist. He says Allah told him that now's the time to do this. That is Mahmoud Ahmed Binajab, Binadab, Bin Around. That's the guy. A very powerful man right now in the world. He's very scary. The United States, by the way, is very concerned about him. Listen, why is he so powerful? Because at this very hour, Iran is in bed with some interesting fellows. That guy's in bed with some interesting people. Number one, you'll be shocked to find out in a moment if I don't run out of time, which I'm out of time. I'm out of time. I can't believe this. Kim Jong-il. You know Kim Jong-il? North Korea? The Iranian connection? Hold that thought. Syria? And Al-Assad? Assad, his connection in Syria, the leader? This goes way back. Iranian weapons agreement and military defense agreement with a guy by the name of Boris Yeltsin, and it was renewed for Iran to defend them by the name of a guy that goes by Vladimir Putin. And then the new kid on the block is a guy by the name of Hugo Chavez, I mentioned earlier, of Venezuela. What do they have in common? Get a load of this. The missiles that are able to strike Tel Aviv, and some of them that they've used already. These missiles have been manufactured in North Korea. They were shipped to Iran. They were sold or given, certainly trucked, to Syria. The one on the right is the one that we need to be concerned about. It's the one on the right. Hold that slide. It's the one on the right. And I hope you... Man, I'm afraid that you may not know what I'm about to say. If you don't know, it's a shame. Where were you on the 4th of July? What were you doing? Were you aware that that missile on the right was launched from North Korea in a test flight? And while you were barbecuing, they were launching missiles toward the United States and Japan. And did you know that the one on the right, that the CIA, you can look at it at globalsecurity.org, that they did the algorithm, that's the mathematical program, the velocity, the angle, the trajectory, the altitude. Do you know where that missile was heading for, according to the mathematical model, before North Korea detonated it themselves in midair? Okay, you said Hawaii. Get more specific. It was a psychological attack on the United States on the 4th of July. Anybody know? Pearl Harbor. You think that was a joke? You think that was a mistake? Interestingly enough, on March of this year, March, before this launch in July, in March, the same missile was launched in Tehran. Guess what the trajectory was? The mathematical algorithm. Tel Aviv. What's going on? Why does Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela, why does he want to demand that the Middle East and Venezuela stop receiving U.S. dollars for oil payments? He wants the United States to stop paying for oil with U.S. dollars and wants the oil-producing nations of the world to require from the United States euros from Europe. It will devastate our economy. It will stop us like this. By the way, that was the reason why George Bush led a coalition against Iraq. Not Iraq, Saddam Hussein. Hugo Chavez and Saddam Hussein, though he wasn't in power at the time, Saddam Hussein was. And there is a known agreement between the two to bring America down without firing a shot. All they had to do is sell U.S. oil. Sell oil to the United States requiring euros. And it's over for you. Boy, I wish we had time for this. No, we don't. I get in trouble with the children's ministry. They'll kill me. We got to go. And there's another service. We got to go. Number eight, Saddam Hussein's legacy, the WMDs. I want you to put your thinking caps on now. Church, if anybody's sleeping, wake them up. They got to hear this. You won't hear this on CNN. The weapons of mass destruction. Do you remember hearing about that? Do you remember Colin Powell going to the UN and showing pictures of mobile launchers and mobile chemical labs? Anybody remember that? He presented to the UN. It was so convincing that John Kerry said, Saddam's got to be stopped. They all agreed. The evidence was overwhelming. 22 nations signed on to be in the coalition because they saw the data and they knew the history. Let me ask you this. I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat, independent, confused, or apathetic. Listen right now. Listen, George Bush is a human being and so is Tony Blair and all the other leaders of those nations. Do they not struggle with pride and arrogance? Sure they do. Don't you think they want their names to go down in the history book in glowing terms? Do you think Bush is dumb enough to get a bunch of nations together to go on drummed up information to go and get this war going? No way. He's got too much ego for that. You want to know why? I stepped off an airplane, and I went onto a military base in Israel. After my name was introduced, a high-ranking man came up to me privately there. I think Lisa might have been standing with me. And he tapped me on the shoulder like this. I have a question for you. Yes. I thought he was going to ask me, how do I get born again? He said, why is your president and Tony Blair and others denying the weapons of mass destruction? I don't know. You're being lied to. Because your government hired our government For 4 weeks, we flew reconnaissance. We took pictures of them. They hid them in the sand at night, and they hid them in the sand in the day, and they drove them by night from northern Iraq and central Iraq to Damascus. We gave you the data. We gave you the footage. Your nation, your State Department, your president knows it, and he's lying to you. Where are you guys? What are you doing? Think of that one through. Especially, what if the scriptures tell us that Damascus will be annihilated? What if Israel, in its defense, lobs a missile over and it winds up setting that whole thing on fire? Because underneath the, and you know how they are, they hide their weapons among innocent people. The whole thing will go up. The weapons of mass destruction exist. Don't be so narrow in your remembering of things. Do you remember Saddam Hussein hated a group of people, by the way, who were notoriously lovers of the Bible, who notoriously loved God, who did not want Islam, and he hated them for it, and he launched an attack against them, and he killed them with weapons of mass destruction. Have you forgotten? They're called the Kurds in northern Iraq. And now, by the way, they can't get enough of the Bible there. Thank God. The price that Syria must pay is number 9, and we've already talked about that, Damascus. But listen to this, Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 23. Jeremiah 49, 23, listen. This is the message given concerning Damascus, saith the Lord. This is what the Lord has to say. The towns of Hamath and Arpad are struck with fear, for they have heard the news of their destruction. Listen, their hearts are troubled, like a wild sea and a raging storm. Damascus has become feeble, and all her people turn to flee. Fear and anguish and pain have gripped her as they do a woman who's giving birth. The famous city, the joy, will be forsaken. Her young men will fall in the streets and die, says the Lord. Her warriors will be killed, says the Lord Almighty. And I will start a fire in the wall of Damascus that will burn up. Number 10, evil in the house. Evil in the house. Note this regarding jihad in America. This is what we need most time for. Next slide, you guys. Jihad in the house. Get ready to go to the next thing. Do we have a map on this? Just past number 10. There you go. Church, this is taken, I think, from Time magazine or something. You guys, look. Islamic terrorist networks in America. It's in red. That's in red. That's public knowledge, by the way. There's a known Al-Qaeda link between the running of illegal aliens up through Mexico border into California, into America. There's a known Al-Qaeda link. Are all illegal aliens Al-Qaeda? No, of course not. But is Al-Qaeda coming in, hiding among them? It's a confirmed law enforcement military fact. On September 15th, 2001, the FBI began airborne monitoring of the Los Angeles basin. Did you get that date, by the way? September 15th, 2001. They began monitoring of the Los Angeles basin due to confirmed shipments of Katyusha rockets that had been tracked from Argentina north through Central America and was lost via satellite during a Pacific tropical storm. The vehicle was later found south of San Diego in Mexico, emptied of its weapons. The DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI believe those weapons made it into the greater Los Angeles area. Shoulder launchable rocket Katyushas. Last year in San Diego, some of you know this. In fact, in your law enforcement, you gave me this information. Last year in San Diego County, the DHS discovered a series of tunnels that linked a warehouse in Mexico to a warehouse in San Diego underground. Those tunnels were sealed and garnished by the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI and then opened to the press for viewing. After that,
the former Ohio State star who scored the game-winning touchdown in double overtime for the Buckeyes in their national championship win back in 2003 is back in jail this morning. And from all indications, he may be spending a lot more time there. Clarette was arrested early this morning in Columbus, Ohio, after fleeing police who tried to pull him over for an illegal U-turn. Police say they needed to use mace to subdue Clarette, who was wearing a bulletproof vest and had 4 loaded guns in the front of his SUV. Clarette's trouble began after he led the Buckeyes to their national title in his freshman year.
Making their way into the United States. While you were sleeping, Hugo Chavez flew to meet Vladimir Putin, and from there he flew to Tehran this weekend. With Russia, he secured an arms agreement receiving thousands of AK-47s and an undisclosed amount and type of military aircraft. Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela. Why? And with Iran, he secured a commitment to supply them uranium for future favors. This happened this weekend. Oh, boy. This next thing, I kid you not, God is my judge. I received information this weekend about the trucking of that missile. Remember that missile I was pointing out? The big one made in North Korea. That missile was being trucked from central Syria over to the Lebanese border. Israel was watching it. They parked it on the border. I think this was Friday. Israel saw it. Israel discovered a plan that they were going to move that rocket, that missile launcher, into Lebanese territory, shoot it, and then drive it across back into Syrian territory before Israel had the chance to respond. You see why, don't you? Sneaky, huh? And watch, if those of you who are news gurus, this is going to click in a second. I was told that Israel was going to take out the capability of that missile. So we watched the news. We didn't hear anything on the news. Then I got a phone call. 45 minutes ago, we just disabled that missile. Watch. It took 2 hours. Fox News was the first one to report it. CNN followed second. All you saw on your ticker tape thingy was Israel launches border strike between Lebanon and Syria. If you saw that yesterday, we knew 6 hours. I mean, myself and a few others knew on this side in church world here. We knew 6 hours before it ever happened. What were they going to do? They were going to hit Tel Aviv. That's why Israel says this week we are in the fight for our lives. Because that missile can be launched from anywhere in Iran and do the nasty damage. FBI sleeper cells, you've been warned of that. This is very, very... We're almost done. Truly, we are almost done here. I mean it. For those of you who are in local law enforcement or maybe state or federal law enforcement here, and I know we have sky marshals here, I know that we have several FBI agents here and others that are involved in law enforcement, this will be no surprise to you. But after September 11th, and that scare regarding those armaments coming up from the south and into L.A. Harbor, the Department of Homeland Security, state and local law enforcement agencies issued an interoffice bulletin regarding the threat of dirty biological or dirty nuclear devices as a real threat to the Southland. And in fact, several cities in America installed in with their patrolmen and the patrol cars, and some firefighters were given the RAD or the radiation detectors in the event of a terrorist attack. I have since been informed that, and I'm just quoting what I was told, that all of L.A. County's squad cars have been given radioactive detectors. And if not all, certainly a number of L.A. County's fighters have been given detectors. The question is, why? Why? And I believe it was Thursday or Friday, a man in Seattle, Navid Hag, entered into the Jewish Center and began shouting, and I quote, "I'm an angry Muslim. America must leave Israel. Death to Israel." And he began shooting, killing one woman and seriously wounding five others. Why do I bring that up? I believe it will not be long, because America stands alone in its support of Israel, that the attacks will begin to surface in the United States for us to back away from the support of Israel. If you start to hear of suicide bombers and shooters and snipers and strange things going on, don't be surprised if shortly after it will be like it happens in every other place in the world. We will continue to do this to your malls, to your Starbucks, and to your movie theaters, and we will continue to come into your daycare centers and blow them up until you stop supporting Israel. You watch and see. And they know that it's Christians who put this last president in office by the massive response in voting. They know this. And you're a threat. I want to actually end this morning with a word that I found very interesting. And this is from Neil Cavuto. He's a financial genius. He has a program on Fox News. We'll run the sound. We'll hold the picture. Listen to what he has to say. This is from Fox News. Listen to this.
Sometimes I'm sure that some of us would like to think that what happens in the Middle East stays in the Middle East, that it is their problem, not ours, their crisis, not our crisis. The truth is, like it or not, what happens there does affect us here because its reverberations are everywhere. In Seattle, Washington, a Muslim man, angry at Israel, forces his way into a Jewish center, killing one, injuring six others. In Somalia, the prime minister uses the Mideast violence to lump Egypt with Libya and Iran and providing weapons for Islamic militants, wreaking havoc in his country. In Perth, Australia, where pro-Lebanon protesters mob Prime Minister John Howard, condemning his support for Israel. Reminders all, as if we needed them, that what happens in the Middle East unfortunately doesn't just stay in the Middle East. It whips up frantic oil traders, sometimes scares off equally frantic stock traders. For now, it is worth pointing out neither of those traders are frantic. They're betting with their money that things will stabilize, and soon, in the Middle East. But remember well, they are placing their bets on a successful outcome there, not a successful economy here. Proof, as if any of us needed it, that when it comes to the Mideast, it might as well just as easily be the Midwest. That big, that important, that close. Thank you very much for joining us for our special Cost of Freedom coverage of Mideast turmoil.
If you don't know Jesus, what in the world are you doing? If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, then what are you banking on? He just gave a warning that some are banking in money, that it's going to turn around soon so they don't lose all their money. He is warning them, you better watch out. Nothing changes much there. But it gets worse. But spiritually, where will you be in eternity? And what if the Lord does come back today? Are you ready? Because the hour is so late, and maybe it's later in more ways than one. At the end of this service, which is now, you should come forward and pray to receive Jesus Christ with these that are going to come here, pastors and prayer elders, to lead you to a personal relationship with God. Read your Bible. What more warning do you need to know? I stand as a watchman on the wall, warning you. Accept Christ. This world is not your home. Look to heaven and make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Don't be afraid. Know that God loves you. Father, in your name we pray. In Jesus' name we thank you. Father, fill us with your Spirit that we might live this day in the love and the grace and the power and the assurance that whosoever would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ would not perish but have everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. You guys, it's late. Will you stand and go get your kids? Third service.